following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Penguin Mysteries. I'm your host, DJ Traumatized, and each week we'll uncover the secrets, mysteries, and dark tales lurking beneath that California surface. Get ready to explore the unexpected that will leave you on the edge of your seat. Stay tuned because the truth is stranger than fiction. Hi, welcome to this week's episode. Today we'll be discussing Vallejo, California, all the different political, economical, and just social factors that go into living in a place like Vallejo, which is unfortunately ranked one of the top dangerous cities in California and even in the U.S. in general, according to Google. Crime rate in Vallejo is 52 per 1,000 resident, and also the poverty rate is 11.53%. Also, Vallejo is unfortunately on its 10th homicide as of July 2024. That number is subject to change, but that is a very unfortunate. And today I will be with a person named Leah, and she's very excited to tell her story. She is a majors in social work and hopes to become a social worker and advocate for change in Vallejo, California. And I just want to say, are you excited and are you nervous? What are your thoughts going into this interview?
Hi, everyone. I'm Leah, and I've lived in Vallejo my whole life. I am excited. I'm very excited to share my experience living in Vallejo. And I'm also nervous because I've never done a podcast before, but I know that it'll go well with DJ Traumatized.
And thank you. I'm very excited. Let's just jump right into it and let's go ahead. How was life growing up in Vallejo?
Life growing up in Vallejo was okay. There was some good things about it and some bad things about it. We have a lot of diversity, and when everyone comes together, it's just like a big, great community. And we do a lot of community events and just try to basically help each other and get away from the bad part that everyone thinks about Vallejo. The crime rate in Vallejo, it did affect my upbringing because my family made sure to teach me and my siblings about the crime that goes on in Vallejo. And they always taught us how to make sure that we're always protected. We have stuff on us to protect us. And if we ever go out, especially if we're alone, to keep something on you to defend yourself. Always to lock your doors. Don't open the door to strangers, which I guess is what you say to anyone, but especially in Vallejo, that you have to be very wary of your surroundings. And I was just taught to be paranoid, you know. Don't trust anyone because a stranger can always be a dangerous person. Yep. The Zodiac Killer, it did impact the community in Vallejo as well as other parts of the Bay Area that were close to Vallejo, because no one knew who the killer was. He just went out killing people in the 1900s and never got caught. There was a lot of suspicion that he lived in the mountains of Blue Rock Springs Park in Vallejo, which is a place that my family actually used to go a lot for parties. But it did spark fear and around the community, especially not knowing who the person was and not knowing, because he did stop his killings, no one knew if he would come back and start the killings. So yeah, it made a lot of people be more aware of their surroundings in Vallejo.
How do the residents of Vallejo react to true crime cases in your area?
Honestly, the way that people in Vallejo react to true crime cases, we don't even react. Like, we're not surprised when something happens. It's just another day in Vallejo that someone gets killed. There's someone being shot. Just something going on. So whenever there's something going on, no matter how bad it is, it's just another day. No one's surprised. But the community, especially when there is a bad case, the community does come together to basically find the person that did commit those crimes, or if something bad happened to the victim, like if they got kidnapped or something, they do come together to try and find the person.
lot of people are wondering, are there any community programs in Vallejo aimed to prevent crimes like this from happening in the future?
Yes, there are. I can't think of the names of them off the top of my head, but there are a lot of programs in Vallejo, especially happening, that have started happening recently. We have a lot of programs for the youth to kind of get them away from, you know, growing up, learning dangerous things and doing the dangerous things. So yeah, the community has definitely started to come together more recently in building these programs to help others, to help children and help adults, and kind of aim to make Vallejo more peaceful.
You know, Vallejo is a very controversial place in California. It is ranked one of the most dangerous cities according to Google, if you were to Google it. So how has the media coverage of true crime cases in Vallejo affected the personal mental of the people in the community?
So the media coverage of true crime cases has affected the community in both positive and negative ways. So positive ways is when the news is like trying to spread word about someone who was kidnapped or something to try and get help in finding the person. But it does also affect us negatively because it shows all the dangerous parts. We're never on the news for something good. It's just always bad. So it does make Vallejo seem like a bad place. It doesn't show the good side of it.
With all of that crime that was occurring in Vallejo at the time, did your parents like take any precaution or anything to prevent things like this from affecting your childhood and taking away your innocence in a sense? Did they shield you from all the crime in Vallejo?
Yes, my parents, not only my parents, but my whole family has done everything that they can to basically shield and protect me from crime in Vallejo. So I was not allowed to go outside when I was a kid. They basically were very strict on me. I wasn't allowed to go places. It wasn't until I maybe got to high school that I actually got to go places and start to be able to go out a little bit, just because they didn't trust me being a young girl in Vallejo with everything happening like crime and kidnapping. So I wasn't allowed to go anywhere. If my family did not know a person, like my friend's family, I was not allowed to go hang out with them until my family knew that they were good people. And everywhere I went, I had to have someone in my family with me. Still to this day, I rarely go places alone because they put that into my head to never go anywhere alone, always have someone with you for more protection.
Okay, that brings me to my last question before I go back to the talking points. Are there any unsolved crimes of Vallejo that we may not know about or that still haunt your community to this day?
There are a lot of unsolved crimes. To name one, there is Pearl Pinson. She was a 16-year-old, I believe. I'm pretty sure she was 16. That got kidnapped in mid-2010s, like around 2016. We have not been able to find her ever since. Her kidnapper actually went on a chase with the police and ended up crashing into something, killing him. So they don't have evidence or anyone else to bring in and question where she is. So we don't know if she's alive somewhere or if she got killed by the kidnapper. But her family and the community, they still have flowers and posters and places still trying to find her after almost 10 years of her being kidnapped. And there are also a bunch of other unsolved crimes. Along with the kidnapping of Pearl Pinson, on a weekly occurrence, or like weekly to monthly, there's always someone being murdered, and the police is very corrupt. They don't really care about people who get murdered or kidnapped. So the cases, they go unsolved because the police don't go to look for the murderers of the victims, because it happens all the time. So, yeah.
I do want to tie it back to something that was brought up before, the Zodiac Killer, which was one of my episodes previous that I did talk about the Zodiac Killer. And I know that that was one of the notable figures that, no, not figures, one of the notable criminals that came out of Vallejo. Did your parents, or did you know about them, or what they did and what they were doing? And yeah, that's just really what I want to get into next.
Yes, so I've always known about the Zodiac Killer, just from my parents talking to me about it, about them talking to each other about it, and also from the documentaries that could have come out about people thinking that they found him, or just about the all the crimes and all the killings that he did. He has a lot of spots around Vallejo where he would go and stay and basically trick people into thinking that they were going to help him, for example, with car troubles, and then they would end up killing him. So he has killed people at Blue Rock Springs. He has killed people. It's called Lake Herman Road. It leads to a lake, and it's just a road, just like basically a dirt road, no lights or anything. So he made sure to do his killings mostly on dirt roads, like where there's no street lights or where there aren't like cars passing by to witness what he's doing.
And that leads me to my final point of this episode before I unfortunately do have to let you go. Where do you see Vallejo in, I would say, at least 5 years? Like, what do you expect and what do you want to see given the troubled past that Vallejo has suffered from?
So although I do hope to see great things in the future, especially what the community is doing, like I said a few minutes ago, how the community is trying to come together and just make these programs and do all these events to bring people together instead of doing dangerous things, I guess. It's basically off and on that crime happens in Vallejo. Like, we'll get good for a little bit, like a month, and then it'll just go straight back. So although I do hope that in 5 years it will get better, I'm just not sure if we'll be able to, especially with everything going on with the holidays. The holidays, it tends to get crazier. We tend to have more robberies and everything, because people want to get stuff for their families, but you know, they don't have money, or they just want it for themselves. I worked at a store for 4 months, and in those 4 months we had people stealing multiple times every single day. We've had people literally run out of the store with carts full of stuff. So, and also because a lot of people in the community, because they are, a lot of people in the community are minorities and have gone through a lot of stuff, and they don't have the outlets that they need to basically get help. Like those who are more privileged get to, they tend to go to, they resort to violence, and they kind of take their violence out on each other. And yeah, we need to have better, like I said, we're having programs, but other than the programs, we need the communities to come together. And although we do have a lot of diversity, we need it to be more equal. We need everyone to come together more and have more positivity so that we can stop resorting to crime.
Okay, and that pretty much brings me to the end of the show. If you did enjoy this episode, I will be back for my final episode next week, where I will get the opportunity to interview someone from a different part of the West Coast. And it's really going to be amazing and exciting. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. And as I always say, it's DJ Traumatized, and I would love for you guys to stay traumatized. Bye. See you in the next one.